Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. Right now we're on Genesis chapter 15. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for your word and for your covenant. The covenant is between you and us. It's a deal that you made with us. That's why offerings were split in half. Because the meaning of covenant means cut, to cut a deal. Lord, in other words, it means that you'll keep your part if we keep ours. It's a 50-50 proposition. So, Lord, your proposition is that we are to learn your word and then do as you say, and if we do, that you'll be our God and we'll be your people. Lord, let everyone hear your words, for it's very important for us to hear them so that we can know what your will is, so that we can do your will. Because if we don't do your will, well, then we've broken the deal that we cut with you when we said, yes, Lord, enter into my heart. Make me a new creature. Fill me with your spirit. Wash me in your blood. I'm going to follow you, Lord, your word, until the day I die. I'm going to be baptized into death so I can be resurrected in your life. I want to be washed in your blood. I want to drink your spirit and eat your words, Lord, to keep them, to keep the covenant, that the deal that we cut, the covenant that we made between each other. Lord, let every word sink into our spirits, into the mind of our spirits, so that we can keep this deal that we cut with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Genesis chapter 15, King James Version, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Commentary. The Lord's covenant with Abram. Verse 1. Afterward, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, quote, Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.
Yeah, because God knew that Abraham had faith, believed in him, and was going to do everything that he said. So a lot of people may look at this and say, well, he's just going to do everything for Abraham, and no matter what he does. But that isn't true. God knows his heart, knows what he's going to do, and made these promises, made this covenant with him. And it seems like it's irregardless of what he does. But that isn't true, because God knows what the heart. He knows what he's going to do. So, let's go on.
King James Version, verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?
In that time, it was the culture, or a law, that if you didn't have any son, that your eldest servant would be your heir, if you didn't have a son. Okay, and what about if it was a daughter? Okay, well, that's something else. That's a long story. Then what else?
Commentary, verse 2. But Abram replied, quote, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't have a son? Since I don't have a son, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth.
Right, it always states that the son is the one that's going to inherit it. It doesn't say the wife or the daughter, it's the eldest son. Now, of course, people today, the wife says, well, you know, he lived with me all these years and everything belongs to me. But that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says it belongs to the eldest son. It's like when David passed on, Solomon owned everything. Amen?
Amen.
Truth is truth. Then what?
King James Version, verse 3. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir.
One born in his house, that means that servant, Eliezer. Then go ahead.
Commentary, verse 3. You have given me no children, so one of my servants will have to be my heir. King James Version, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Commentary, verse 4. Then the Lord said to him, quote, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own to inherit everything I am giving you.
Everything that I am giving you. Well, what about a wife? You know, these gold diggers today, they think, boy, we're going to get rip him off. Let's get married to that guy. He's got a lot of money. Well, if he's got a son, gold diggers, you don't get anything. Amen?
Amen.
The son gets it all. Amen?
Amen.
My, my, my. What, you know, when the women of the world hear this tape, what a disappointment. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Commentary, verse 5. Then the Lord brought Abram outside beneath the night sky, and told him, quote, Look up into the heavens, and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that, too many to count! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
See, God counted Abraham righteous because of his faith, not for any other thing. And it tells it in the New Testament, too. God accounted Abraham righteous because of the faith he had. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 6. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord declared him righteous because of his faith. King James Version, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Commentary, verse 7. Then the Lord told him, quote, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land. King James Version, verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Commentary, verse 8. But Abram replied, quote, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure you will give it to me? King James Version, verse 9. And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.
Okay, so he says, how can I be sure that you're going to give all this to me? So the Lord tells him to get all these different animals and birds, and then he says, because he wants you to cut the animals in half, because he's going to make a deal with him. He's going to cut a deal with him. Okay, now we're going to split this heifer in half, this goat in half, etc., except with the birds, we're going to leave them whole. We're going to cut a deal. How can you be sure? I'm going to make a covenant. I'm going to cut a deal with you. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to split it and put it on the altar, and then the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah himself, is going to come down and burn it up, just as that's the deal. Okay? And he can swear by no higher power than himself, or a higher name than himself. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand what a covenant is now?
Yes.
To cut a deal? Amen?
Amen.
And that's why they cut the animals in half. The Lord had them do that. Let's cut this deal in blood. This is blood. This is a death. This covenant is like to the death. Okay, then go ahead.
Commentary, verse 9. Then the Lord told him, quote, Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. King James Version, verse 10. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst.
Divided them, cut them in half. Then what?
And laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. Commentary, verse 10. Abram took all these and killed them. He cut each one down the middle and laid the halves side by side.
There's one side is the Lord's side, the other side is our side. That's the deal. Amen?
Amen.
You understand the covenant better and what the offering is all about?
Yes.
You're cutting a deal. Split it right down the middle. How am I going to know you're going to do all this? Let's cut a deal. I'm going to show you. God can't lie, amen? So he cuts the deal. He's going to keep it, but you got to keep your side of the deal. You promise that you're going to be dead, you're going to die out to this world and to sin, and that you're going to resurrect to the Spirit of the Lord and walk in the Spirit until the day you die. That's the deal, pal. Now keep it, because if you do, then I'll keep my side of the bargain, the Lord says. Capiche? You understand?
Yes.
Comprende? Capito? Verstehen? Okay, you got it, right?
Right.
All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 10. He did not, however, divide the birds in half. King James Version, verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away.
Right, because whenever there's a deal being cut between you and God, the devil's going to come down carcasses and try to take that deal away. Amen?
Amen.
But Abraham didn't go for that. He shooed him away. Amen?
Amen.
You rebuke it. Don't let anything get in between the deal between that the Lord and you cut together and you and the Lord cut. Amen? Don't let anything get in between there. All right? Mm-hmm. It's a real deal. It's the real thing. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 11. Some vultures came down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away.
Now, why would that be in the Bible if that wasn't what it meant? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram.
Now, this deep sleep reminds me when I came in. I was up all night because I had this toothache. It was the most horrible toothache. And Sue, we weren't married at the time, promised to take me to the dentist in the morning. And I went and bit into a cookie. It was one of these marshmallow cookies. And that thing started aching because the chocolate got in there. And it hurt so bad. And all of a sudden the Lord touched me. And when I went into the apartment where Susie and some of the other people were, and I sat on the couch, and I got so tired because the pain went away, and I was relieved at the pain, and I felt so good that I went into the deepest sleep that I've ever been in my life, and all of a sudden I saw that vision of Sue and myself being married. And it was the most supernatural vision. It was a very strong vision. And look at the work that God put us together there. And you could tell that it was of the Lord, because look at this great and mighty work that happened from it. Amen?
Amen.
And my vision that I had is recorded. I've done a piece of literature on that, and there's many tapes that I've done on it before. And so refer to my tapes and my messages. Amen?
Amen.
Literature. If you want to hear more about it. Then what else?
King James Version, verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Commentary, verse 12. That evening, as the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. He saw a terrifying vision of darkness and horror.
Now, what I saw was a very wonderful vision, and it was during the daytime, right? Just when the sun was coming up. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 13. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
So he's prophesying of the future of the seed of Abraham, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, that they're going to be in the land of the blacks in Egypt, and they're going to be actually tortured there, enslaved. The blacks are going to enslave God's chosen people. Then what? Go ahead.
Commentary.
So I'm just saying, you know, the blacks say that they've been in slavery for so many years. Well, they had the Jews in slavery for a lot of years. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, don't just have a martyr spirit for yourself. Think of what you sowed you may have been reaping. Amen?
Amen.
And then what else? You don't touch the Lord's chosen people. And now, if you blacks and you yellow and red people and everybody else, black and brown, white, all of us become one in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So you see, God is prejudiced, but not according to the color of skin. God is prejudiced. He's against sinners, okay? But he loved the sinner enough to give them a chance to get saved and get their sins taken away. He will erase those sins in the blood of Jesus and drown them in the sea of his forgetfulness and remember them no more against you or anyone. So it isn't the color of skin that the Lord is prejudiced against. It's he has saints and then there are sinners. He loves the people so much that he gives you an opportunity to be saved, but if you don't, then he does not like you. So if you want to be on the Lord's good side, you had better repent and get those sins covered and start, die out from your old life and start walking in the Holy Spirit, in the life of the Lord. Okay, then what?
Commentary, verse 13. Then the Lord told Abram, quote, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, and they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years.
Yeah, that was the land of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
The land of Ham. Canaan was the land of Ham also. All that area, all of Africa is the land of Ham. Then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward...
So the Lord said he's going to judge those Egyptians, and he did with 10 major plagues. Okay, so you could see there was a prejudice there. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, if I see the blood, he says, I'll pass over a household, but if there's no blood on that house, which was symbolic of the blood of Jesus, he said the firstborn of every house will die. And of course, the rest, they'll all go to hell, because you must be covered in the blood of Jesus, and you must be walking in the Spirit. You must fear the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And the fear, the Lord says, that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's all you need to do. And some people try to minimize that and change the word from fear to reverence. That isn't it. He says he loves those that fear and tremble at his word, not reverence and tremble at his word. Amen? It's fear and tremble at his word. Because he's a terrorist to people that don't. Okay? The doubters will be damned. And those that fear the Lord and keep his commandments shall be saved. Then go ahead.
King James Version, verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Commentary, verse 14. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth.
Right, he did punish them. Amen?
Amen.
Killed the entire army, killed all the firstborn, wiped their crops out, destroyed Egypt. Then what?
King James Version, verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Commentary verse 15, but you will die in peace at a ripe old age. King James Version verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
And that fourth generation, I mentioned it at the end of this, the fourth was Moses. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 16, quote, after four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, when the sins of the Amorites has run its course.
And Amorites, when it's talking about Amorites, that's talking about the whole land of Ham. It's like just symbolizing, wrapping it all up into one name, the Amorites. But it's all the people there, all the different ites in Africa. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
Okay, and that's symbolic. But that symbol symbolized, symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory passing through that altar and burning those sacrifices and making sure that he knew that the deal was cut. That's how you shall know that these things shall come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 17. As the sun went down and it became dark, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses.
Right. That was the Shekinah himself. Okay, now the Shekinah is the Lord, and the Shekinah glory. God is glorious. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates.
Now, the great river in Egypt, that's, he's talking about one branch of the Nile River, the eastern branch of the Nile River. Okay? Then what else? There's only one major river in Egypt, that's the Nile. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Commentary, verse 18 through 21. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day, and said, quote, I have given this land to your descendants.
In other words, he struck a deal with them that day. Amen?
Amen.
He cut a deal with them. He's going to give them all this land. And then he showed the Shekinah and burnt those offerings up. Split them right down the middle. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Quote, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River.
Yeah, so because of the fact that it's Egypt, you know that it's the eastern branch of the Nile. Okay, then what else?
The land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Commentary on chapter 15, verse 1 through 21. This is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, Old Testament.
Okay, so we just finished chapter 15. Now we're going into the commentary here. This is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible because it's showing how Abraham, God made a covenant or cut a deal with Abraham and the actual ultimate fulfillment of that covenant was Jesus Christ here in the about 2,000 years ago, and where we're still receiving the blessings from that covenant. Amen. That deal, providing we keep the deal ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
That isn't a one-way street with God. It's a split deal. You keep your side of the bargain, and I'll keep mine, the Lord says. You turn your back on me, I'll turn my back. He's a Jewish God. He makes deals. Come unto me, and I'll come unto you. Turn your back on me, and I'll turn my back on you. That's the deal that I cut. Okay, then what else?
This is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, Old Testament, because it shows the establishment of the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant.
Yeah, the deal. Okay, then what? With man. Then what else?
The covenant that was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, verses 2 through 3. Childless is the word often used to describe when God's closing a womb in judgment. How does this compute with the promise? The law permitted a senior slave to become heir of a childless man.
Right, that was the culture of the day, that, you know, a senior servant or slave could be the heir if he didn't have a son. Amen?
Amen.
So it didn't. That wasn't going to be what the Lord promised Abraham. They promised him a son, and he really had a son. Amen?
Amen.
And he promised that he'd have so many descendants from that son that you wouldn't be able to count them all. Amen?
Amen.
And that came to pass, didn't it?
Yes.
I'm part of that seed. Amen?
Amen.
You are too. If you believe in Christ and you are keeping the deal with the Lord, you're part of the seed of Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? I don't care what color your skin is. If you're keeping that deal that the Lord cut with Abraham, he also cut it with you, and so you're all right in the Lord's eyes. Amen?
Amen.
You're straight. Okay? Go ahead.
Chapter 15, verse 6. Abram's silence was his way of giving credence to God's word, believed. This resulted in a legal reckoning, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This statement is quoted by Paul twice, Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And once by James 2:23.
Yeah, if you believe God, you're righteous. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And he knows you believe him if you keep the deal. Okay, what else? But if you hear things that you're supposed to do and you just shine it on and then just don't do anything for the Lord, well, then you're not keeping any deal with the Lord. You don't even think about it. All you are is your lip service, and you're just interested in the blessings of the house of God rather than doing something for the Lord to preserve your soul and to bring other souls to the Lord. And so he considers you not as righteous Abraham, but he considers you unrighteous because you care not for the goal of God. You care not for the covenant, the deal that he cut, that he split. It's a split deal between you and the Lord and you. Both of you keep the deal and you're in heaven. Oh, I just thought you're just supposed to say, I believe in Jesus, and give some lip service. Brother, sister, you're on the wrong track. Okay, we're reading through the Bible, and you're going to learn what the Bible means. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Right, and all those that believe God are the seed of Abraham, and they prove it by doing what the Lord said. It's just so simple that even a person that isn't very bright could understand that. Okay, then what else?
It is the basis for the New Testament teaching that God's way has always been responsive. Trust in his word, which produces the right kind of living.
Right. Now, God responds to people that do good.
And he also responds to people that do evil. He curses them in response. And those that do good, he responds by blessing those that do, that believe him and do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
So you can choose whatever you want. You can choose cursing or blessing. Okay, then what? It's up to you. Amen?
Amen.
Quite simple, quite elementary. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It is the basis for the New Testament teaching that God's way has always been responsive. Trust in his word, which produces the right kind of living, life. Chapter 15, verse 9 and 12 through 16. God informed Abram of the future while he was in a deep sleep. The 400 years of bondage, the fourth generation. 400 years was an approximation, a round figure.
Yeah, because it was 430, but it just says 400 years. Just like we say, Jesus, Jesus was about 2,000 years ago. Amen?
Right.
But we're not going to pinpoint it. So he's talking 400 years, but it was talking also, you have to take into consideration when after the promise was fulfilled, or the covenant was made. So it could have been 430, it could have been 400 years too. You know? But we hashed that one out when we were doing the other book, amen?
Amen.
We thrashed this one out, I'm just bringing it back, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Galatians 3:17 counts 430 years, much the same from the establishment of this covenant with Abram. Galatians 3:17.
Much the same. It's just like, you know, we're going to be around 400 years, right?
Right.
So it's 430 years before they started marching out of Egypt. Okay, then what?
Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years...
And how was the covenant confirmed? Because the Shekinah went right through and burned it up, amen?
Amen.
That's a confirmation. Well, you don't believe that that happened? Woo-hoo. You're in trouble. You don't have faith. Okay? Abraham believed it. And we see all those seeds today. Try to count all the Jews, can you?
No.
Can you count the stars?
No.
Well, that came to pass, amen?
Amen.
There was at one time you could count them, but you can't count them no more. All right, then what else?
Galatians 3:17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years...
And your Christ came, so it's confirmed. Amen?
Amen.
He came. He died on the cross. And he shed his blood. And he now enters into human hearts. That's confirmation when the Shekinah enters into your body. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Then what? It gives you the power to not to be able to fast, to have power and dominion over the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And it should give you great faith to see that you have that power. So you need to exercise it sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Make you feel good that you have faith, like faithful Abraham. Amen?
Amen.
And it gives you the power to keep all the commandments. Well, we know that there's a great force in this world that will fight you so that you will not keep the commandments. But that's the world. The he that is in you is greater than that force that's in the world. Amen?
Amen.
So just rely on that inner strength of the Shekinah in you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Back into the commentary. This kind of dating appears more reasonable, placing these events about 1870 B.C. Assuming that the dating of the Mosaic Covenant at Sinai to be 1440 B.C., The four generations of verse 16 were Levi, Kohath, Amram, and Moses. Chapter 15, verse 16. The Amorites represent all the inhabitants of Canaan.
That's what I said. See, the Amorites, even. You say that, that's all the inhabitants, all the ites. Amen?
Amen.
And then what else?
God's judgment must come at the perfect time. Chapter 15, verse 17. A very dramatic scene when God humbled himself and accepted the part of the inferior party to his covenant with Abram.
Yeah, he took the inferior part. And God did back then. And God did too when he came down and took our sins on him. He became the inferior, the scapegoat. Amen?
Amen.
So it goes to show these people that are full of pride, you're the exact opposite of the Lord, because the Lord humbled himself and made himself inferior to us. This is God doing that, to show you that you're supposed to be humble, because all you are is a chunk of clay. Don't even honor yourself by saying you're meat. We're all just dust. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord came down and humbled himself, made himself inferior to us back then, and when he came in the flesh. Pride always goes before a fall. Every time I see a proud person, I know they haven't got long. They're like the wolf already has them in his teeth. Okay, then what? All they are is just faking it. They're trying. They know they're nothing. And so they try to put on a haughty look and a proud face. And they're nothing. The Lord humbled himself and was obedient to his own word himself. Okay, then what?
There is an ancient Hittite suzerainty covenant. A puppet ruler, the inferior party, would walk between the blazing pieces of split animals, taking an oath of loyalty to his superior.
Yeah, so here God is saying, here, I'm making an oath with you humans. Okay? Walking. And even the Hittites did this. I mean, it was like a ritual. But the Lord did something very similar. It's what they do. Then go ahead.
Like, quote, may the God do so to me and more also, as I have done to these animals, if I do not fulfill the terms of this covenant.
That's what the Lord is saying when he splits those animals. He says, may these things happen to me, and even more, if I break my oath, that I wind up in a worse place than these animals, and in worse shape than them, if I break my oath. And that's why if you break the oath, you will wind up worse than those animals, because their souls are not in hell. Your soul will go to hell. Remember that. Okay, then what?
Jeremiah 34, 8 through 22.
Go ahead and read it. It won't hurt anybody.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it's going to do you some good. Okay.
This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being in Hebrew or in Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservant and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt.
Yeah, I cut a deal with them now. Go ahead.
Out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother and Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And you had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant.
Yeah, you didn't keep your side of the bargain. So now there's going to have to be some judgment. Okay, go ahead.
But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence.
I'm going to kill you with the sword, and I'm going to kill you with disease for disobeying me. Then what?
And to the famine.
I'm going to have you starve to death, some of you. Then what?
And I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Okay. You're going to scatter them. Then what else?
And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant.
So you didn't keep the deal that we cut. Then what else?
Which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain, and passed between the parts thereof. The princes of...
See, it says it right there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, he cut it. Yeah, that's the deal. The covenant in the Hebrew means cut. Cut the deal, okay? And what else?
The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies.
Okay, so in other words, you wouldn't let the slaves go, so I'm going to make slaves out of you. The ones of you that I don't kill. Amen?
Amen.
That's just judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowl.
I'm going to make slaves out of you to a bunch of people that are seeking to kill you. So they'll capture you, use you up, and when you get too weak to work, they're going to kill you. Okay? Haughty ones. People that think you can mess around with God. All right, then what?
And their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant.
Right, so in other words, you act like you're big, fat, and sassy, and that you're somebody. You're not even going to have a city to call your own. You're going to get killed by the sword, by famine, by pestilence, disease. And you're going to be slaves and be killed by those people who make you their slaves. Okay, then back to the commentary.
Here the Lord voluntarily makes himself lower than Abram for the establishment of the covenant.
Yes, because he's the one that walks through the fire. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that's going to hell for you. He went to hell for you. He died on the cross and was crucified, and that's, you deserve to go through to be those burnt offerings, and even to deserve a fate worse than the burnt offerings, because they're dead and their souls are not in hell, but we all deserve to be in hell when we weren't keeping God's commandments. But now that we are keeping the Lord's commandments, we don't deserve to go to hell anymore, because we're all keeping the covenant of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We made a deal with them. You don't break deals with the Lord.
Not unless you want some of that that you just heard in Jeremiah. Okay, then what?
This great act of humility is a figure or prefigures the precious gift of his own and only begotten Son, who lowered himself, condescended to die on a degrading cross for all mankind, humanity. A smoking oven and a burning torch, also a figure of speech, a blazing fire, or Shekinah himself, passed between those pieces. The Lord was the promising party. God's oath was unilateral, unconditional, with no requirements of Abram. His part...
He didn't have to, so it's unconditional because he knew that Abraham was making all the conditions. Amen?
Amen.
So it was really conditional, but it didn't appear in the scriptures that it was conditional, but it's not unconditional. It was on the condition that he was had faith. Okay, and faith means not just to say you believe in the Lord. It means that you prove it by doing everything he says. Then what?
The Lord was the promising party. God's oath was unilateral, unconditional, with no requirements of Abram, his part in this mighty covenant, but faith. God knew Abraham has faith. Abram simply believed. The Abrahamic covenant is the Old Testament model for the New Testament covenant in our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 15, verse 18. Made a covenant. The Hebrew says, quote, cut a covenant, end quote, same as, quote, cut a deal, end quote. This is why the animals were cut or split in half.
Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. That was chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 16 mañana, all right? Until then, God bless you real good.